Together in our Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth 2, we're going to be reading the first 17 verses. Ruth chapter 2, continuing our series, our Advent series through Ruth. And Ruth 2 is on page 263 in our songbooks, or in our Bibles. Ruth chapter 2, we'll read the first 17 verses. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Then Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And that's as far as a reading in Ruth 2, I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this text together this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of us have questions about our future. But if I were to think about my own life, there is a particular time in your life that these questions are more pressing. There's a lot of uncertainty that is connected to your high school and college years. And of all the decisions that you need to make during these years, two are probably the most significant. The first question that high school, college age students will have to answer is, should I get married and what kind of person should I marry? The second question that they have to answer is, what can I do with my life? How can I provide for myself and provide for my needs? But as we saw this morning, although these may be questions that we have to answer and we wrestle with, God's providence stands firm. God's providence is working in and through all things, even when it comes to who we date, who we marry, and what kind of work we end up finding ourselves doing. Nothing happens by chance. His goodwill must come to be. Well, tonight as we return to Ruth, we are going to find that in Ruth chapter 2, we see this underlying theme of God's providence working in and through all things to answer the very question, who will protect Ruth and who will provide for Ruth? Who will protect her and who will provide for her? Now, we've seen so far with Naomi, that was Ruth's mother-in-law. Naomi is beginning to come out of her sin. She has been converted. She's returned. She's repented. She's beginning to see that her leaving the promised land with her husband was the wrong thing to do. She's returned and relented and come back to the promised land. And yet she is still not at the place of joy. She is still in a position of bitterness, of grief and despair. And in her bitterness, in her grief, she is shutting out and pushing away those who love her. But in our chapter, we are going to see the joy of the Lord returned to Naomi. And the agent of this joy is Ruth. As the Lord blesses Ruth, Naomi enjoys the blessings as well. There will be, by the time we get to the end of this book, there will be joy in the house of Naomi once more. But currently we find that for Naomi and for Ruth, there is no inheritance and there are no children. We started our book with three men, and these three men were met with three deaths. There is a glimmer of hope. It is harvest time. Now Ruth and Naomi are back in the context of God's covenant people, in the context where God says, this is where you need to be if you want to experience my blessings. We saw this last week. Don't go into the world to look for the blessings of God when God says, my blessings are found in the house of the Lord, in the midst of my people. If you want to be blessed, go where I promise. This is where my blessings are to be found. So by God's grace, these two women are brought back to the house of the Lord. And as we see today, there is shelter under the wing of the Almighty God. Ruth has given up so much. Ruth has forsaken her father and mother. She is at the mercy of these to her, which would be foreign people. Will Naomi's God become the God of Ruth? Will the people of Naomi become the people of Ruth? Will the God of the widows and the fatherless provide for these two widows? Will Naomi's people embrace this foreigner into their midst? I know it's often been said that people do not stay in a church because of the preaching. People do not stay in the church because of the preaching. They stay in the church because of the people. Do visitors feel welcomed? Do visitors feel embraced and part of the congregation? That is why they stay. And as we're going to see with Ruth, this is how the Lord blesses her, is by using the people of God to be a blessing unto her and embrace her. Well, as we work through our passage today, we are going to start by looking at the two individuals that are being brought front and center. And the first individual we are going to look at is Boaz from Bethlehem. We're going to see in the introduction of this man in verse 1 and following that we are taking a shift. We are moving away from Naomi for the time being, and we're even moving away from Ruth, and we're seeing how the introduction of this older man is going to be a blessing to this entire context, and God is going to work through Boaz. Now, Boaz is introduced in verse 1. He is seen as a godly man, a worthy man, our passage says. A worthy man meant that he was a great man. Greatness could be found in the sense of great wealth, great prestige, but it also could apply to great in the eyes of the Lord. Greatness in character. In fact, this word is used to describe King David, a mighty man of valor. So we are introduced to Boaz, and he is a great man. But more than just a great man, he is an upright man. He is a man of great character. As he enters the field, what does he say? He says, "The Lord be with you," in verse 4. The Lord be with you. And the people who he has hired respond, his servants respond, "The Lord bless you." He is a man of character, of faith. He is also a man who the Lord has greatly blessed. So we find in an introduction to Boaz, he is a godly man, a single man, probably likely in all likelihood of an older gentleman. He is part of the remnant of faith. Although living in the days of judges where people are doing what is right in their own eyes, what we find with Boaz is he is committed to following the ways of the Lord. So not only is he upright and generous, a godly man, he is committed to obeying the word of the Lord. This godly, generous employer is going to be used by the Lord to be a great blessing to Naomi and to Ruth. But there is one more very important aspect that we need to see about this young man. He's not just a random guy who's from the area. He's a relative. He is, as verse 1 concludes, of the clan of Elimelech. Now, why is this so important? Why do we need to know what clan he comes from, or what specific people group he comes from? Well, he is of the family of the dead men. He is of the family of Elimelech, a close kin by which he can perform the function. We're going to see this in the next few weeks. The function is twofold that this man can perform. The kinsman redeemer has the right to reclaim land. That's from Leviticus 25. So when Elimelech took his family away, the land did not sit empty and feral. It was taken over by others. And yet the kinsman could redeem the land, Leviticus 25 says. If your relative was poor and could not take care of the land or could not buy the land, a close relative could buy the land on your behalf. So we're going to see that with Boaz. He's going to have the right, the privilege to purchase the land. But also, Deuteronomy 25 talks about the brother of a dead man raising up a child for the sake of the dead man and his name or his family. So we have not only this kinsman redeemer who's going to do something about the land because Ruth and Naomi are destitute, they are poor, they have nothing. But God is also going to use Boaz to do something about the name of the dead men, to raise up a child, to carry on the inheritance. Now, we don't always understand or appreciate the significance of this fact. In Israel, the covenant promise made to Abraham was directly linked to land and offspring. Land and offspring. Having possession of the field and having children to bear your name and take possession of the field after you have died. But Naomi and Ruth have no land and they have no offspring, no child. So the Lord is going to graciously use this man to fill the gap, to answer the need, and to raise up someone to care for this family. But there's one more aspect which we don't directly find in our passage. But if you were to read in the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you will find this man's name. Boaz is the son of Rahab. Now, children, if you will remember the story of Rahab, Rahab was a Gentile prostitute from Jericho who ends up marrying a man named Salmon. So this young man has a Gentile, or this older man has a Gentile prostitute for a mother, which is very significant. Because it shows how God is providentially grafting Gentiles into the covenant line. And he comes from Bethlehem. He comes from Bethlehem. This man comes from the house of bread, yes, but he comes from the city of David. One passage that we put in your back pocket for later is Micah 5. You, O Bethlehem, from you will come one who will be ruler in Israel. So we have a redeemer coming from Bethlehem who is going to provide for those who are in need and answer the covenant promises of God. So we have a redeemer coming out of Bethlehem, one who will provide and protect the outcast. And this older man notices a younger lady. So what Boaz offers to Ruth in our passage is going to be seen as both a provision and protection. Well, now that we've been introduced to Boaz, we've learned something about his character. We continue in our second point by looking at Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth the Moabitess has forsaken her father and mother. She has no ties, no link to her foreign lineage. She's given up everything that it means to be a Moabitess. She's come back with Naomi saying, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how is God going to show himself to be Ruth's God? How are the people of Naomi going to show themselves to be the people of Ruth? Naomi has come back and she said, I'm changing my name. I went away full. I'm brought back empty. I left with joy. I've returned with despair. Don't call me Naomi. I'm not pleasant. Call me Mara, for I am bitter. And the people who have seen these two women come back are shocked. The city is set ablaze by the discussion of these two women who have come back. Ruth is here as well. What kind of reception will she receive? Up to this point, Ruth has remained relatively unknown and unrecognized, but that is all about to change. Because in verse 2, we find Ruth making a request. Ruth says, I'm going to go out and let me work the fields, let me glean. Now, children, if you are unfamiliar with gleaning, it is a form of harvesting. Now, when we see the combines who go in the fields, they do a very efficient job of getting all of the grain, getting all the corn, all the soybeans, right up to the edge, to the end rows. But what a faithful Israelite would do in remembering the law and the mercy of the Lord was to leave some on the fringe, some on the outside, for the sake of those who were poor and needy. So the poor and needy were given a right to glean, to harvest the fringes of the field. They could go out there with their hands and gather the wheat or whatever was being harvested, gather that, and then they could take that home as their own food. So she goes out, Ruth goes out in verse 2 and says, I'm going to go and I'm going to see where I end up and hopefully I'll find a place where I will find favor. But as our passage unfolds, Ruth's character is being filled in. Ruth's character is being brought to light. We find that Ruth is incredibly industrious and she takes the initiative. She asks for permission and she dedicates herself to work. And in fact, the young men that see Ruth doing the work make this very point. She came here early and she works all day. She took a short break, but she has not quit. She is hard working. She is committed to the well-being of her mother-in-law. Even Boaz makes this point, all that you have done, this is in verse 11, all that you've done for your mother-in-law has been told. Not only is she hardworking, she is committed to Naomi and to the name of her dead father-in-law and the name of her own husband. She does good to her in-law all her days. She's hardworking, she's industrious, and she is polite. She asks for permission. She is filled with thanksgiving. She says this to Boaz, "Why have you taken notice of me? I am but a servant." She's humble, considering the needs of others. So Ruth is gaining quite a reputation. And what we see when we look at the character of Ruth, we find quite a list: faithful, kind, polite, a diligent worker taking care of her family. What we find in this chapter is a snapshot of Proverbs 31. She's a Proverbs 31 kind of girl. Proverbs 31 says, a wife of noble character is one that works with willing hand and provides food for her own house. She's committed to service. But not only is she committed to service, she has a gentle and quiet spirit, a thing that is very precious in God's sight. Let this be a brief application to our young men and women. If you want to be the kind of young lady that is pleasing in God's sight, these are the character traits that you must model, that you must foster in your life. In this way, Ruth is gaining a good reputation among those in Israel. So if you, young ladies, if you want to be noticed by the right kind of young man, these are the character traits that you must dedicate yourself to. Peter says a gentle, quiet spirit is a thing that is precious, a precious thing in God's sight. And let me speak to young men. This is the kind of woman that you should look for in marriage. This is the kind of woman you should pursue. Yet of all these beautiful character traits that model Proverbs 31, there is one more aspect that needs to be said. Proverbs 31 concludes by saying, "A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Ruth steps out in faith. She goes to a land that she does not know, to a people that is foreign to her, all because she believed in the God of Israel. Of everything that you can say, of all the character traits that are worthy of imitation in Ruth, the highest one is this. She is a woman of faith. She has come to trust in the Lord, to submit herself to the Lord, to cast herself upon the mercy of the Lord. She is looking for shade under the covenantal God's almighty wing. And this is what we find in verse 12. "The Lord repay you, Boaz says, for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." She has come to take refuge under the wing of the almighty God. Although relatively new to the covenant people and the covenant land, she is showing a faith, a trust, a dependence in the God of Israel. But as I said before, this book as a whole and this chapter in specific is not ultimately about Boaz, and it's not ultimately about Ruth. Who is really at work here? The first way we see God's hand of mercy made manifest is in the giving of the law. Let me ask it this way, children. Whose law was Boaz obeying? Whose law was Boaz obeying? It's Leviticus 19. When you're gleaning the field, leave the edges for the poor, because you know that your land belongs to the Lord, and you yourselves were once strangers in the foreign land. So when you leave the exterior part of your land for the poor and needy, you are recognizing that God has graciously brought you from bondage. Remember, you came out of Egypt. You were a slave in a foreign land, and the Lord God graciously brought you out. So the law is reminding the Israelites of their own blessings that they've received from God's hand. And the law, leaving the exterior part for the poor and needy, is one of the ways that God is graciously blessing Ruth. The law is a blessing that Ruth receives. We'll find the same thing with the kinsman redeemer and the taking of Ruth into Boaz's household. So the law of God provided for those who were poor and needy. It is the Lord, the God of Israel, that is the one whose grace and mercy is made manifest. The kinsman redeemer was God's idea. And it is he who is providing for the widows and the fatherless in our passage. So the first way we see that this is the Lord at work is it's his law which provided for Ruth and for Naomi. And the second way we see is how God is providentially working in ways that you and I could never master. There's a little bit of divine humor that we find in our passage. Because Ruth goes out in verse 2 and 3, and she finds herself, our passage says, or literally, she just happens to end up in Boaz's, in the field of Boaz. She just happens to show up in this particular field. If the heart of the king is like water in the hand of the Lord, that he can move and direct the heart of a king in any way that God sees fit, surely the Lord of Israel can direct his child here, Ruth, and make sure she ends up in the field that she needs to be in. But not only does the Lord God make sure that Ruth ends up where she needs to be, he is also directing the steps of Boaz. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Why did Boaz come out of his house and leave his home in the city? Why did he show up in his field at this exact time, on this exact day? Because the providential Lord of Israel is at work. Proverbs 16 puts it this way, many are the plans in the mind of man, but the purposes of the Lord will stand. From the fields of Moab and death, Ruth comes to Israel and finds the field of Boaz. The Redeemer of Israel is making sure that Ruth and Boaz are in exactly the right place at the right time so that Boaz can take notice of this foreigner and provide a temporary rest and refuge for Ruth. And do not miss that what Boaz says in verse 12 is not crediting himself, is not saying, I have provided rest and refuge for you, Ruth. It is rather, Ruth, you have come to find rest and refuge under the wing of the Almighty God. That's verse 12. In Psalm 57, we hear these words, be merciful to me, O God. In you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wing I take refuge. Or again in Psalm 91 that we read a few minutes ago, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What we find here in our passage is the Almighty extending his wing, providing shelter and shade for Ruth, so that she is not burned up in the summer heat, but that she is protected and provided for. And truly, her cup overflows. God uses Boaz as his instrument of grace in Ruth's life, so that at the end of the day, Ruth starts the day without hope, hungry, with no reasonable expectation of provision. She comes out of Moab and she finds rest and provision and shelter and shade and great blessings. So that as our passage concludes, she gleans in the field all day, she takes home what she has gleaned, and it's about an ephah of barley. Now, we have no idea how much an ephah is in our contemporary minds. This was about a bushel. That's 30 to 50 pounds of barley. So to visualize this, if you go to Walmart and you buy the biggest bag of dog food they sell, that's how much barley she took home after one day of gleaning. This would be enough food for weeks, if not months, for these two widows. And that is why Ruth says, "Whose field have you been in? Someone has taken has given you his pitying eye." And in response to this great kindness and generosity, Ruth is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. The grace that she receives motivates her to gratitude and thanksgiving. She says to Boaz, "Who am I that you have spoken kindly to me, that you have comforted me, though I am not one of your servants?" And that is the proper response of God's people when we receive his grace and his blessings. "Who am I, O Lord? Who am I? Who am I that you would speak kindly to me and give me your grace? I do not deserve to be welcomed to your side. I do not deserve to be sheltered by your wings. I do not deserve your grace. I do not deserve the forgiveness of my sins because of Jesus Christ. I do not deserve to be called out of the nations. I do not deserve to be chosen and brought into your home and given shelter and shade and rest. Who am I, O Lord, that you would turn towards me and glance upon my needy state with your pitying eye?" This passage so far brings to us a reminder of God's goodness. Sown throughout this passage are God's gracious kindness shown to those who are in need. To conclude, the Lord takes notice of his poor widow, and he sees to it that her needs are met. But unknown both to Ruth and Boaz at this point is our story is not done. There is a deeper need, because although Ruth is greatly provided for and protected in the time being, remember she said, Boaz said to Ruth, "Stay by my reapers, don't stray from my field. Here you will find protection. Here you will find provision." The fact is, harvest is temporary. There is a long-term need that needs to be met, to say nothing of the fact that we still don't have a child to carry on the name. But contented thus far to say, Ruth finds undeserved grace from the hand of the sheltering God. "Why would God consider me? Why would he look on me in my need? I am a foreigner. I am a servant. I am an unprofitable servant who does not deserve your grace. From death we are given life by the hand of a precious Savior and a gracious God, giving shelter under the wing of his almighty hand." Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this comforting truth that reminds us of our own need. For like Ruth, we are poor and needy. We are helpless. We are completely dependent. And we have no way to provide for ourselves. We have no hope of protecting ourselves. Yet we thank you as our covenantal and almighty God. You have extended your wing and given us shelter and shade. We thank you that Jesus Christ meets our need and provides protection for us in this life and the next. In his name we pray. Amen.